I've longed for success, and I'm finding God's best is much better than I thought to be. And I found out He's done all He's gonna do, and He's left His best up to me. I'm making plans to succeed. Yes, I'm making plans to succeed. I'm charting my course, planting good seed for thee. In my heart, I believe that with God, I know I'll not fail. Direction for me He'll unveil. I've no alternate course in that I've made my choice, and I'm making plans. I've a right to success. I'll not settle for less. When God wishes His best for me, that I live in good health and enjoy wealth as my soul prospers generously. So I'm making plans to succeed. Yes, I'm making plans to succeed. Charting my course, I'm planting good seed for thee. In my heart, I believe that with God I know I'll not fail. Direction for me, He unveiled. I've no alternate course, that I've made my choice. Now I'm making plans to succeed. Yes, I'm making plans. Hallelujah. You know, success don't just happen. We have to plan on success. How many wants to be a success? Amen. Well, I want to talk to you today about pursuing success. Success, like I said, just don't just happen. It doesn't just fall on some and not fall on others. There's things we can do that will enable success to be a guarantee in our life. Someone once said, the key to success is work hard, stay focused, and marry a Kennedy. Well, I don't know about the Kennedy thing, but I do know that success requires hard work and staying focused on the goal that we have. You know, God wants your life to be a success. He wants you to be successful in life. What does the word success really mean? I mean, several people said you wanted to be it. And I would be one to raise my hand, too. I want to be a success. And we have a general idea. Success sounds like a good thing. But what really is success? Well, the word success means a favorable or a desirable outcome, or attain wealth or favor. Or I just wrote my definition, to accomplish a goal. Now, you all were successful this morning in accomplishing the goal of coming to church. Somewhere along the line, you decided you were going to be in church this morning, and you made plans accordingly. Maybe you adjusted your schedule, or maybe you had to do some preparation to be here this morning, and you succeeded in accomplishing the goal that you set out. People climb mountains, and when they get to the top, they say they succeeded in climbing the mountain. You know, Zig Ziglar said this: success means doing the best we can with what we have. Success is the doing and not the getting. It's in the trying and not the triumph. Success is a personal standard, reaching for the highest that is in us, becoming all that we can be. You know, the world would say that those who are successful are just lucky. They may have a mindset of what will be, will be. Unfortunately, many Christians feel the same way. They have the idea that if God wants some to succeed and others not to succeed, and you don't know whether you're one of those to succeed or one of those not to succeed, and so you just have to leave the results up to God and see if you're a success. But God has more things to say about success than that. Now, God wants you to succeed because, number one, He loves you. Now, if you have children, you desire your children to be successful. Whatever that means in their life, you want them to be a success. You want them to overcome. You want them to accomplish some things in their life that's important to them and obviously important to God. But God also wants you to be a success because He wants you to be a witness for Him. He wants to put you on display for the world to see. Oh, last year it was, I believe, I was in, you know, we live in Oklahoma, and it probably happens here, but you see quite frequently there in the summertime, you'll come up like to an intersection there, kind of in the semi-country, and here's a fellow with his pickup truck. And he's got it parked here, and it's full of watermelons. And he has actually taken a couple of those watermelons and cut them open, and they're laying there on the tailgate of his pickup truck for you to drive by and your mouth start watering. He puts his stuff on display to try to get you to want what he has there. Well, I'm going to tell you, friend, God delights in putting you on the tailgate of his pickup truck. He wants you to be a witness to the goodness of God and to reveal to your neighbors that serving God doesn't cost, it pays. But it may not, you know, pay, you know, on Friday, but it pays. It always rewards you for serving God. So God wants you to be His billboard. He wants you to be the one that people look to and wonder, how come you always overcome every trial? How come everything you put your hand to ends up being a blessing? How come that when you're attacked, you face it with a smile on your face and you overcome the thing? How come? And you can say, well, I don't know. No, that's not what you're going to say. You're going to tell them about the good God you serve. You're going to tell them about how God is faithful. With His word is true, and you're going to be a witness for Him. Now, how do we go about succeeding? It's not complicated. Most things in God's word are not complicated. It's very simple, the way His kingdom works. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says this: do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that he will also reap. Now, I know you've probably heard that verse a few times. We hear that verse so much, if we're not careful, it just kind of goes right over our head. But the secret of success is in this verse right here. Whatever a man sows, I think the Amplified says, that and that only is what he'll reap. In other words, the things that we have in our life are pretty much determined by the things we sow in our life. And you know, it's not like I thought this up and I thought, that's cool. No, God wrote this. Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, wrote this through Apostle Paul to the church in Galatia. And he said to them, whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. Now, I was raised on a farm. And we sowed stuff. But before we sowed stuff, we had to decide, what do we want to reap? What were we wanting to raise? And that determined what we sowed. And we found out something that, you know, if you sowed corn, guess what? You got corn every time. If you sowed corn and wanted wheat, you're going to be disappointed. Because it's a law that was instituted at the very beginning of the Bible called seed time and harvest. And so usually we talk about money whenever we're sowing, and that's something you sow. But I'm here to tell you, if you'll sow your life in serving God, it's amazing what you will reap in return. Give, and it shall be given unto you, Jesus said. Whatsoever a man soweth. We need to sow seeds of success. Now, I want to look in the Old Testament about someone that God told how to succeed. I know you're familiar with the story of Joshua, and Joshua being chosen of God to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. But let's back up one generation to a man named Moses. God chose Moses. He had a divine assignment to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and out of bondage. It took him a lifetime to get that done, but he got it done. He was a success as far as leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. But if I read and understand the Bible correctly, just a few days distance from the time they crossed the Red Sea till they were at the Jordan River ready to go into the promised land, and Moses could not be successful in getting them into the promised land. We won't fault Moses because of that, because the people were in doubt and unbelief, but he could not get them in there. Now let me tell you a reason it was so important. Because you see, God is developing and creating a nation. We know that nation today as the nation of Israel. And God raised up that group of people for a specific purpose on this earth, and that was to usher in and make a corridor for the Messiah to come and live among mankind. That was the primary purpose that God raised up the children of Israel, so he would have an avenue through which to come and dwell among us and then offer his life, so forth and so on. You know the story. So it's vitally important now that the children of Israel can be where they're supposed to be so God can do what he's wanting to do. Well, Moses, of course, has lived his life and he goes on to be with the Lord. And Moses' right-hand man, who was Joshua, has now been raised up to succeed him. And God gives him the assignment of leading the children of Israel into the promised land. Now, I know, you know, I don't know what God would have done if Joshua would have failed. Maybe he'd wait another generation and pick somebody else. I don't know that. But I know this, it was vital, extremely necessary that the children of Israel get into the promised land. That's got to happen. And so when God talks to Joshua, he gives Joshua some instruction. And I'm going to read those instructions in verse 8 of the first chapter of the book of Joshua. Here again, I know you've heard this. He tells Joshua, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, success to Joshua would be getting the children of Israel across the river and getting them dispersed in the land and dividing the land up. That would be success for Joshua. And that success for you is always defined by the will of God in your life. Whatever God's assignment for you is in your local church, in your community, whatever part you have to play in the local body of Christ, that's what God's called you to do, and accomplishing that's called success. Now notice God tells Joshua, this book of the law, or my word, we can simply say, my word shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, what he's saying is, let me back up a minute. You know, Joshua was one of the 12 that went over there and saw the giants and saw the walled cities and saw the challenges. And we know the story. 10 of them come back and say, ain't no way we can go over there. But Joshua and Caleb said, we're capable. Well, see, I want to tell you, those giants are still over there. Those walls are still around those cities. Nothing's changed over there. And so Joshua knows, and God knows, that when you get over there, Joshua, you will be challenged. They're just not going to fall at your feet, Joshua. They're not going to run because they see you. You're going to have to be hearing what I have to say. Don't let anything but the Word of God come out of your mouth. Don't be tempted to say what you see. Say what you hear me say. Keep my word in your mouth, Joshua. And I'm going to tell you, friend, God has success planned for you, but there are some giants out there. There are some barriers out there. Because there's an enemy of your soul. There's an enemy of God. Don't want you to be a success. Do not want you to be on God's pickup truck. Don't want you to be an example of the goodness of God. Don't want people to see just how wonderful our Heavenly Father really is. And so if you're going to be a success, you're going to have to make plans to succeed. You're going to have to do what is necessary to be ready for the giants and the walls. And so God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth. You shall meditate day and night. Meditate. Boy, day and night, that's a lot of meditation. Well, you know, I know that, you know, you can't meditate. You can dream, maybe, but you can't meditate when you're asleep. So what's God saying here? Is he saying, Joshua, you ain't got time to do nothing but meditate? You know, Mrs. Joshua, come along, take out the trash. I'm sorry, I'm meditating. God told me to meditate all the time. You take out the trash. No, I don't think that would have gone well with Mrs. Joshua. Okay? So what God really is saying here? Keep your mind focused on me. Don't allow the things you see in life to distract you and capture your thought processes. You start meditating and keep meditating. And when you see something and hear something that's different than what I said, you need to be thinking what I said and reject what you're seeing and hearing. That's what he's telling Joshua. So when you see the giant, don't let the thought say, boy, he's big. No, you're going to realize that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And so God's telling Joshua now how to succeed. So keep the word of God in your mouth. Meditate all the time. And he said, if you do that, I like the way it read that. Let me go back and read this again. He says, this book of the law shall not meditate out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate, shall not depart out of your mouth. Thou shalt meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to that is written in. For then, it says, for then. Say then, after you do this. You know, many of us have been students of the word for years and years and years. To our credit. But if we're not real careful, we will get so accustomed to hearing the same thing over and over. We know somebody's talking. We know something's being said, but we've already heard it, but we're not listening. We're not really getting the message. And so that's what God's telling Joshua. Joshua, don't think, I've heard that before. You need to hear it now. Faith comes by hearing, not by having heard. Hello? He says, if you observe Observe. He said, if you meditate, you will see. If you meditate, you will grasp. If you meditate, you will get the message, Joshua. You will understand what I said. You will observe. And then the next step is to do. And that's the bottom line. That's where God's trying to get us all to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, but to do what His Word says to do. You know, I'm coming to the conclusion, you know, that God's smarter than me. It didn't take a whole lot of work to do that either, I'm going to tell you right now. But God knows what He's doing. I was just listening this morning to Brother Hagin. He was teaching on the Father God and so forth. And he talked about a particular scripture. And he says, you need to believe that. And someone said, well, I don't understand it. Brother Hagin said, I don't understand it either. It doesn't say you have to understand it. It says you have to believe it. That understanding thing is your head problem. And it'll get you off track. So he said, you'll meditate, you'll be able to observe or know what to do, and then guess what? Then you can do it. And it's in the doing that you overcome. And he said, if you do these things, Joshua, you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Notice, God told Joshua right quick, if you succeed, Joshua, it's in your hands. You meditate on my word. You'll see what my word says. You'll understand what my will is. And when you do what my word says to do, success is a given. It ain't no big deal. You just do what I told you to do and you cannot fail. It's that simple. The road to success always begins with the word of God or the known will of God. That's why we gather together. We come to worship Him. My, wasn't the worship awesome this morning? Worship Him and experience His presence, and He charges and invigorates us and everything. And then we settle down and we listen to God. I'm not Him, by the way. But we're listening to what He has to say. Because we want to know, God, what do You got to say about today? What do You got to say about what's going on in this world? What do You got to say about my future? What do You have to say? Because, see, God knows, and God's got it right. I told Pastor Jan this morning, you know, God never changes. Great is Thy faithfulness, we sung. Oh, what an awesome song. And that's not a new song, friend. Somebody got some revelation a long time ago and wrote that song. God is faithful. You know, God never changes. You know why God doesn't change? I realize this is deep stuff. We're really into deep theological stuff. Well, God told me why He didn't change. Makes me real spiritual, don't it? He don't change because He got it right. Hello? He got it right. And if He changed, He'd be wrong. And God ain't about to be wrong. I'm going to tell you that right now. And so we need to realize then that God's got it right. And whenever we line up with what God says, success is automatic. We got to prepare for success. We got to pursue success. But when we do the things necessary for success, the success comes automatically. I like the Amplified Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 2 and maybe 3 or 4. Moses is writing under the unction of the Holy Ghost and said that you may reverently fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's sons. Notice he didn't just stop with you. He said you need to teach this to your kids and your grandkids. You know, someone said years ago, you probably heard this, but Christianity is one generation away from extinction. Every generation has to receive Jesus for their self. They have to be born again, too. And so if we don't pass it on, it's going to die. Well, that's what God's telling Moses here. Tell your kids and tell your grandkids. What I require of you, I require of them. That you may reverently fear the Lord your God, you and your sons' sons. Keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Prolonged. That sounds good. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be watchful to do them, that it may be well with you. That sounds pretty good too. that you may increase exceedingly. That don't sound bad. As the Lord thy God of your fathers has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, what do we talk about? Your days will be prolonged. It will be well. Now, the opposite of prolonged days is short days. Okay, that it may be well with you. The opposite of well with you is sick with you. Okay? Increase exceedingly. The opposite of that is decrease. Flowing with milk and honey. I don't know what the opposite of that is, but it wouldn't be good. This, and all God told Moses was, you just do what I told you to do. That's all he really said. You do what I told you to do. Don't do what I told you not to do, and it will be well with you. You will be exceedingly increased and prosperous. It'll be like living in a land that flows with milk and honey. Kind of sounds like success, doesn't it? Then we can skip over to the Psalm, the first Psalm in verse 1 in the Amplified. Happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man, and I'm going to skip a bunch here, the man who does not walk the way the world walks. The man who does not get into the way the world does things, that man is happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable. But his delight, that man, is in and desire are in the law of the Lord. On his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. Now, anybody here want to be happy? How about fortunate? How about prosperous or enviable? That's that tailgate thing. God wants you on his tailgate of his pickup truck so that everybody want to be like you. Okay? That's exactly what that's it. That's where God's at. He wants you to be a sample. You want to know what I can do? Look at Jim over there. Look at Joe over there. Look at Sue. Look at that's a person who obeys me. They just kind of get blessed and can't help it. You know, we've heard a lot of teaching on the blessings of God, and praise God for it. Because a lot of times people didn't even know that God wanted to bless them. But really, we're not supposed to be seeking the blessing. The blessing's supposed to be seeking us. The Bible says that God watches over his word, hastening. In other words, he's paying real close attention to his word, looking for an opportunity to bring it to pass in somebody's life. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, all these blessings shall overtake you. Doesn't say you're going to overtake them. They'll overtake you. This kind of, get run down by a blessing. Whoa, glory, what was that? That was a blessing going by. Whoa, man, hallelujah. I was just obeying God. Well, that's just all it takes. Just doing what God tells you to do. Happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable as the man who his delight and desires are in the law of the Lord. And in his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, studies by day and by night. Some time ago, I was pondering, meditating, thinking about the goodness of God and the law of God and what God told us to do and not do. And I just kind of had this question. Everybody's familiar with the Ten Commandments. We know what they are. We know that God gave them to Moses. But, you know, a lot of people, even a lot of God's people, kind of have a negative connotation about the Ten Commandments. Well, that's just God telling me what I can't do. Well, why would God tell you not to do something? Would it be because he just wants to be boss? Exercise his dominion. I'll tell you. I want you to know who's God here. Is that what it's all about? Is that why you tell your children to not play in the street? Because you just want to be the parent here? Want them to know who's the boss here? No, you know there's cars in the street. You know that if they play in the street long enough, they're not going to be happy. Well, that's why God said, don't steal, don't lie, don't commit adultery, don't do these things, because you won't be happy. You won't like what you're going to get from that action, so don't do it. That's why He knows it's detrimental to you, that it'll hurt you, that you'll not be able to be what He created you to be and involve yourself in those things. That's why He said that. I'm glad He told us that. And so that way we didn't have to find it out ourselves. But most of us decided to find out ourselves anyway. This man who meditates and ponders day and night on the Word of God, he shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. Now let's see here. The man who delights in the Word of God will be like a tree firmly planted. Now you all know I'm from Oklahoma. We have some wind in Oklahoma. Now recently we had some winds. It didn't matter how firmly you were planted. Okay? But I'm here to tell you that when a tree is firmly planted, it can stand a whole lot more wind than the ones who are surfacely planted. And so God is telling you here that when the winds blow, the winds of adversity comes, if you're delighting and meditating in the Word of God, you'll be able to go with the flow and bend and straighten back up. That don't sound bad. And tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth fruit. That's harvest. That's provision. That's whatever it is you have need of. Fruit in its season. Its leaf shall not wither or fade, and everything it does shall prosper. So let's see. A tree firmly planted, sounds good. Bringing forth fruit, sounds real good. Shall prosper and come to maturity, sounds like success to me. And what did he say? He started out with the Word of God. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the guy who loves the Word of God and meditates in it day and night. That's the guy who's going to, and the gal, who's going to succeed. Another portion of Scripture found in the New Testament, New King James Version, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Timothy was a pastor. And like most pastors, he deals with people. And anytime you deal with people, you have temptations sometimes to get discouraged. Because for some reason, people don't always do what they're supposed to do. I don't know if you noticed that or not. It's the way it is. And here he's a pastor. And I kind of get a little hint here that Timothy may be on the verge of discouragement. And Paul is writing him to encourage him. He says, do not neglect the gift that's in you. In other words, there's something in you, Timothy. Don't let that slip. There's a gift in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate, there's that word. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Whoa. No room for anything else. Entirely to them, that your progress, and I took some liberty. And if you want to stone me afterwards, you can. But I added a word in there called success. That your progress or success may be evident to all. What's Paul telling Timothy? Not only do I want you to succeed, I want others to see your success. I want others to realize that you have to come through the same stuff they come through and overcome it. And you are an example to them. Paul said, God wants you on the tailgate of his pickup truck, Timothy. He wants you to show people that it can be done. That your progress or success may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will both save yourself, save both yourself and those who hear you. So here we see again, meditation in the Word. Be successful. Influence other people. Be a light to those around you. God wants you to succeed because He loves you. He also wants you to show others how good he is. And then Jesus said in John chapter 8, 31, 32, two of my favorite scriptures. I think in my early Christian walk, these two scriptures probably spoke to me more than anything else. And it set me on a course that I'm on today. Jesus said to those the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Then you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. You see, whenever you leave here today on your path to success, on your path to accomplish what God, the plan, the dream that God has put in your heart for your life, I don't want to get negative, but I mean, you've lived out there. You know what's out there. That's why it's so great to come to church. It ain't here. And that's why we get so excited and we get liberty, praise, worshiping God, but then we got to go out there. Well, Jesus said, if you know the truth about out there, the truth you know will set you free from out there. The truth you know will enable you to succeed and overcome the challenges that wait for you out there. I can remember, you know, early in my Christian walk, I'd go to church and get all excited and get all stirred up, you know, and I'd go to work the next day and I didn't know what to do or how to handle stuff. It didn't take me 5 minutes to get discouraged. Because I didn't know how to resist this. I didn't know these things. Because the devil hates you. Well, I mean, feeling mutual. I don't like him either. But I'll tell you what he really don't like. He despises the fact if you ever get on God's pickup truck and you sit at the roadside and people go by and say, whoa, they must be lucky. Let me tell you about lucky. The luckiest thing that ever happened to me is one day somebody told me about Jesus and I had enough sense to listen and do what Jesus told me to do. Luck had nothing to do with it. God brought them across my path. And if there's any goodness in me, and if any good things happening in my life, I want you to tell you, yeah, I had to work. I had to do whatever I had to do. But I'm going to tell you, I was working all that before I found Jesus and was not a success. But now that I know Jesus, he blesses what I put my hand to. And he's so good to me. And I want you to know he'll be good to you. You see, success in God's eyes is you reproducing yourself, leading more people to Jesus, being an instrument for somebody else to want to serve him. I know without even asking a question, God's been good to every one of us. He's been so merciful to us. His compassion has been so great, and there's been times, I mean, I would go to God, and God, I do not deserve to be here. But I'm here in Jesus' name. I'm here because of what Jesus did. That's the only, and God said, that's good enough. And he continues to bless, continues to use us. You know, if God didn't want you to be a success, why in the world would he have told us how to? Why in the world would he have put it in his word, the steps to success, if he didn't want us to be a success? Now, we just kind of scraped the very surface. Every message your pastor preaches is information to help you be a success. Every scripture you read in the Bible is aimed at you being successful in your life. So you know what? I just believe you all a real smart group of people. And if you didn't know it before today, you know God wants you to succeed. And he didn't leave it up to you to figure out how. He told you exactly, spend time in my word. Meditate on what I said. Get it on the inside of you to where it is as real as your breath. And when the challenge comes, it'll come out of you, and the enemy will flee from you like he run from Jesus when Jesus said, "It is written." Would you bow your head with me this morning? Father God, I thank you so much for your mercy and your grace and your goodness. Thank you for every individual of this congregation that's here today. But I just believe you'll take what we have said and mold it to where it fits every heart. Where every person will receive what they have need of from your word today, because your spirit will take it and form it to where it fits their need. Lord, I thank you for every person who has bowed their knee to Jesus, who's a child of God, who's born again. I thank you for everyone who's filled with your spirit. Lord, it's highly possible this morning there are those that are among us that for however reason and whatever reason they have found themselves in this service today. And they long to be a success. They long to overcome the challenges in their life. But the first step in success is to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's the first step. All other steps are not until you take that step. And Lord, I know since you want them to succeed so much, you're more than willing to receive them if they'll just receive you. That you'll change them from the inside out and cause them to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. Brand new person on the inside. And I thank you for it. Now I'm going to ask you all a question. God is offering you an opportunity today to put you on the path of success. If you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He's opening the door to you. He said, basically, I've done my part. Now it's your turn. The next step is your step. And you know, and every person in this building today that is a Christian, that's born again, had to take the step that God's inviting you to take today and put them on a path of being successful in life. Is there those among us today that would be bold enough to lift up your hand and say, look, that's me. I need to receive Jesus today. I've known I needed to, but today I'm going to take a successful step and receive Jesus into my heart. Would you lift up your hand? I just want to pray for you. I just want to acknowledge you through prayer that you want to receive Jesus. I'm looking all over the con. Anyone at all? Well, how many this morning you've received Jesus? Maybe you've kind of got your focus off. You haven't been meditating on the Word of God. You've been meditating on your problems and your situations and so forth. You want to make a commitment this morning to get back on the road of success. You raise your hand. Yeah, don't be ashamed, folks. We've all been there. We've all been there. It's so easy to be overwhelmed with the things we see around us. I see those hands. You can put your hands down. Father God, you saw every hand. They acknowledge the fact that they've let some things slip. That the things that have been put in them, like Timothy, they have got distracted from that. And right now, I believe in Jesus' name, they make a commitment to get back on that road to success and meditate upon your word and think and ponder upon the things you have said and allow the good life to be reinstituted in their life and regained. And I thank you for the blood of Jesus cleanses us from the sin of unbelief. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know, I didn't preach on healing or nothing like that this morning. If you all need prayer concerning anything like that, I'll be down here after the service. I'll be glad to minister to you at whatever you have need of. In Jesus' name. Pastor Jan.